This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650. And now, here's your host, Brooke Ward.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to another edition of White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. Brooke Ward indeed with you. Big thanks to Brother Jake for the intro this week. What a great guy. Good guy, good guy, as Dolly Wall would say. Vancouver Giants this week, presentation of the fine folks at White Spot. Make sure you check them out. The Giants had a rough week. 0-3 in the week, although they played much better. Had a couple of road games didn't look good in. On Friday night, lost 5-2 to Tri-City. Saturday, 7-3 in Kamloops, where Canuck draft pick Braden Coutts went nuts. 2 goals and 4 assists for Coutts in the hockey game. In on 6 of the 7 Seattle goals. Beat the Giants 7-3. And on Monday at home, the Giants dropped a 2-0 decision to Everett. Raiden Legall, a 20-save shutout for the Silvertips. Kelton Pine in goal for Vancouver. Looked terrific in a 34-save loss. Empty netter sealed it. It was scoreless midway through the third period until the Silvertips broke the ice. And then that empty netter sealed it in the final minute. But it was a good hockey game, 2-0. Giants sure looked a lot better in that game. But an 0-3 week for the Vancouver Giants. So they ain't getting jiggy with that. Their next game, they're going to host Edmonton on Saturday at the LEC. The Oil Kings hit the Langley Event Center. And then the following Wednesday, November the 19th, the Hurricanes from Lethbridge come to Vancouver. Back-to-back home games for the Giants before they hit the Iron Lung and head out to it for a game in Penticton on Friday, November 21st, coming up on this show. The game wrap in just a minute. Hear from head coach Parker Burgess after the Giants' loss on Monday night. Also, Bill Wilms, Nathan Kander to join us. And as always, you heard him off the top, along with bro Jake, Jack the Giant with us. Hello, Jack.
Ho, ho, ho.
Jack the Giant riding shotgun, as always. He is my bouncer. Any problems, Jack is there. Our live studio audience tonight. No problems tonight. No booing. I know it's tough, but no booing tonight, folks, or Jack the Giant will be on you. Coming up in a couple of moments again, Nathan and Bill to join us. Parker Burgess right now. Here's the game wrap from a very entertaining Monday game. The 2-0 loss for the Giants at the hands of the Silvertips had happened at the LEC.
Sparks behind the net. Continuing along. Up to Chorney. A shot, and that's off a shin pad. Lands in the right corner. Tomik is on it for Vancouver. Chorney, bottom of the right circle, spins in front. Lynn and a pad save from Legault. Lynn keeps it alive again. Great shift in the O-zone for Vancouver. Sparks to the line. Left point, it's Lynn holding onto the puck. Down for Tomik on the goal line and takes it in front. That's stopped by Legault, and he will cover it. That is the best shift I've seen all weekend. Mietinen now a 3-on-2. Mietinen down left side, drops it for Bear. Back door, and the tip is missed. That was a tap-in from Liske, and he missed the net. Up the far boards, Caffey overskated. Haliburto will hold it in. Plays it down low for Sparks. In front, Tomik, backhander! Oh, what a save from Legault! He got a piece of that with a left pad. Van Honen, now Bear left corner. Bear centers, Oreskovic in the way, but Mietinen still gets a shot off, and a blocker save from Pine. Jasko, again, will pinch. DuPont now backs it up. Van Honen to DuPont, top of the right circle, down low. It's loose, and Pine gets his stick down to deny Carter Bear in tight. Pressure from Everett. Jasko left point. Down the wall. Back up to the line. Jasko. Liske. No shot. Now he'll try. And that deflected. They score. Schaefer gets a stick on the point shot from Liske. And there's your icebreaker. 1-0 Everett with 9:58 to go in the third.
Yeah, you know what the Tips do so well is they extend that shift. And they literally get a Vancouver group that can't get off the ice. They're bagged. You see, all you got to do, all that offense, for any team for that matter, is catch you flat-footed.
Now to Lynn. Lynn will take a wrist shot off the goal. Loose in front, whacked wide by Oreskovic. A wraparound try, comes back in front, swing and a miss from Schmidt. Now Lynn will shoot. That's stopped. How did Legault make sure there was no rebound? Lynn right's point. Walking the line, extra attacker out for Vancouver. Trying to tie. They're down by one. Schmidt's shot blocked. Tried to shovel it, couldn't get it. And now Bear racing out of his own zone. Can he get to center? He goes for the empty net off the post. And it's lost, and an easy empty net goal for Van Honen. And it's 2-0 Everett with 51 seconds to go.
Well, you get to clear. It hits the post. You get a break. And you think, if we just get that puck back one more time. Now, you get possession. You're the Vancouver Giants, but you don't get clean possession. And that puck is deposited into an empty net.
back end of the Giants 2-0 loss. The 0-3 week for the Giants. Edmonton here, as mentioned, on Saturday night. That is a 7 o'clock start at the Langley Event Center. Going to run down the standings for you. Very tight in the West. Other than Everett, they're running away with the West early. But very tight in the West. We'll run that down for you in a couple of minutes. Parker Burgess postgame, though, with Bill Williams and Justin Morissette after the Monday game, was not displeased with the way his hockey club had played.
Obviously, I loved our play without the puck tonight and our commitment to your point, our structure, and guys were in the right place at the right time. And, you know, they kind of get a cheeky one there from the point. They sift one through, and they were able to get a tip on it. But, yeah, it's kind of that bittersweet. You know, there's no moral victories in hockey and all the cliches and stuff like that. But it was a good hockey game. They're a good team. They don't give you much. And I actually am pretty familiar with their goalie, Legall. He was in Muskegon last year for a little bit. He's a tremendous, you know, very competitive. And Piner was tremendous for us, too, both goalies. And then it's just that, you know, you got to find a way. And they were able to find a way. We weren't.
I know you said no moral victories, but given the quality of the team that you lined up across from today, is this one of those where, you know, it's tough to be much prouder of the group in a game where they were not able to get a goal on the board?
Yeah, and I mean, the vibe in the locker room, too. Obviously, guys are frustrated and disappointed, but for the right reasons. You know, they're looking internally at, like, maybe they had a chance to make a difference in the game. And, you know, it's tough, but at least we'll be able to break down film and you know, chat with them tomorrow, Wednesday, on a lot of the things we did well and maybe some misses. You know, we had some two-on-ones and things like that where we weren't able to capitalize. And we just got to find a way, you know, from a specialty team's standpoint, it feels like, you know, the Knights, our power plays on, our penalty kill struggles, and tonight our penalty kill was good. And that's where you need your power play to take some ownership and step up in those moments. Again, like, you know, you play a high-quality opponent like Everett, you're probably going to need a power play goal and to find a way on an opportunity like that. But at least a step in the right direction.
Did you think, as we did in the booth, that, you know, pretty much all three lines provided, if not offense, obviously, you didn't score any goals, but provided really good chances?
Yeah, I think, and I, you know, like the Chorney Sparks Tomic line had back-to-back shifts in the second period where they were heavy and hard down low and getting pucks to the net. And I, you know, I guess I look at it, there wasn't a line that we didn't feel comfortable putting on the ice, you know, and I even thought, you know, Pira and Morelli and Kale, when they were out there, they were doing their jobs, getting pucks in and getting in on the forecheck. So, yeah, it was, I would say it was a lot of really good. We just got to get through that threshold and get to the great side of things.
Coach, I hate to overstate the importance of a 16-year-old player, but obviously Blake Chorney gets back in the lineup tonight, returns from his experience with Hockey Canada. How valuable was it for your team tonight to get a guy like that back in the mix?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, he provides a lot. It's funny, you take him out and you're looking at the lineup, you're like, ah, we're missing something. And so just getting him back, you know, provides us, you know, especially up the middle. And, you know, I think for him, it's funny because he, you know, young kid coming off a gold medal, it's a 3.5 hour time difference. And we were having some internal conversations of, you know, a night like tonight would probably be a good idea to rest him and give him an opportunity to take a day off and reset, because he played so much hockey. I think it was 6 games in 8 days for him. And then it's out in the Maritimes. So with the travel, I think our game tonight started at basically 10:30, 11 out East. So the jet lag, you know, plays an effect on it. But yesterday he was texting me from the airport and then in his layover in Calgary, and he was already campaigning, you know, to my body feels good, I'm ready, like, I don't need a day off, I'll be ready to go. He was just so excited to come back and help the team. And I think that speaks a lot to his character and who he is as a young man, and why he's going to be a big piece of this, why he is a big piece of it, but even, you know, bigger and a leader. Just wanted to play and be with his teammates and try to help.
Parker Burgess, Vancouver Giant head coach Blake Chorney, the topic off the back end of his postgame from Monday. And yeah, keep an eye on this rookie Chorney. 16 games played, 4 goals and 3 assists in those 16. A 16-year-old who's played 16 games and wears jersey number 16. Keep an eye on Blake Chorney, who will play his 17th game. Maybe he has to change his number. Maybe he has to wear number 17 on Saturday night. Edmonton here for a 7 o'clock start at the LEC. The standings in the West right now, Everett 15-2-2, 32 points, 8 ahead of the Prince George Cougars. Get the Cougars with 24 points in second place. Third place, the surprising Penticton Vs and Victoria Royals are tied for third. getting to Kamloops with 20 points, a point out of third place. The Spokane Chiefs and Portland have 18 points. They sit in seventh place right now, yet they are just, what, 3 points out of third place? Then you've got Vancouver, Tri-City, and Seattle all with 17 points. They're holding down a tie for eighth place in the West right now, one behind Portland and Spokane, and only four to second place. The Penticton and Victoria tie. When we come back, Nathan Kanter will be with us. Bill Wilms later in the program. Thanks for being with us. I am Brooke Ward. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Mike Halford
and Jason Brough.
Join us for Halford and Brough in the Morning weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on Sportsnet 650.
Or on demand anytime through your favorite podcast app.
Old-time hockey, like when I got started, you know?
Yeah, baby!
Yeah, baby, old-time hockey. Have you seen the movie Slapshot? Come on, it's Paul Newman. It's old-time hockey. Yeah, baby. Nathan Kanter's with us. Young-time hockey with Nathan Kanter. The pride of Toronto. The Blue Jay fan. He's still, like, bummed out, I would suggest. Is that a fair assessment, Nathan?
Yeah, a little bit.
You haven't let it go yet?
Trying to. I admittedly not the biggest baseball fan. I know we chatted. It's a team. They're in the World Series. They're the only Canadian team in the MLB. Of course, you're going to watch. Of course, you want them to win. And it was just the way they lost was so difficult. So, but we have to move on.
Got to move on, man. What's your favorite when you were growing up? What's your favorite Toronto? You could say anything. What's your favorite Toronto team?
As a little one, you watch the Leafs. Everyone watches the Leafs.
Yeah. Favorite player?
I shouldn't say that on these airwaves.
No, that's okay. That's fine, man. We give you.
Well, you grew up with, like, Matt Sundin, I think, was a great ambassador for the game. And it was one of, I know he ended up playing for the Canucks at the very end, but it's hard not to levitate towards. You know what? When I was a kid, Alexander McGillney, who was just inducted into the Hall, was on Sundin's wing. Hmm. And, of course, he was also a Canuck. McGillney was a great, cool. Great player.
I liked him. I liked him personally. He was quirky, but I liked him.
He was. Well, and you know what he went through to come over to North America.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story. I just appreciated his incredibly skilled player.
He had to sneak out of Russia.
Yeah.
Undercover, or else you could go to prison for defecting. And came in and got into Buffalo and Toronto, Vancouver. He was a neat guy. He was just like, he's a very nice guy. I interviewed him many times. I liked him a lot. He was cool.
He was joking on the, I saw the induction. He'd had a video. He wasn't there in person, but joking about Russian vodka. And when he found out, taking a shot at 3 a.m., said the coffee wouldn't do it. I just thought that was, he had a sense of humor, is from what I understand. Yeah. Yeah, that was the Toronto connection, I guess, watching him as a kid and Matt Sundin. But also, for the record, Colorado Avalanche, Burnaby Joe, that was the team. And but got to get over. Baseball season is done.
It's done, man. It's over. You can't change it.
It's over.
You can't change it. People are still trying, but you can't change it.
You can't. And you know what? They had their chances, and they deserved. I mean, they had their chances. Couldn't. And the Giants, they took it on the best team the other day. They had chances against Everett. I know they got shut out, but they played well. They played a good game.
What do you think really about that? Because Coach post-game, Coach Burgess post-game, in the 2-0 loss on Monday, he was not that upset about the way his team played. Got outshot a lot, but I was not there due to other issues. What type of game was that?
I think it was a good, exciting, fast-paced game. It was 0-0. Until halfway through the third period, and typically to hear a 0-0 game, well, I don't know. What do you think, Brooke? Probably think it's pretty boring, right?
Not always. Hey, there was an NFL game on Monday night. It was scoreless into the third quarter.
And was that a snooze fest? You're saying it wasn't.
You were right up against them. No. Well, you know, I was just catching bits and pieces of it. I was under the weather, for those who don't know. So I was catching bits and pieces of everything before the NyQuil took full effect.
This 0-0 game, though, was back and forth. Like, it was great. Obviously, you're going to have great goaltending if it's 0-0 until 10 minutes to go to the third. But I thought the Giants showed heart. I thought they fought hard. I thought they battled. is a really good deep Everett team. People know that. They have two of the best defensemen in the league in Terron Smith, their captain, and Landon DuPont, who's, of course, played last season at 15 years of age, got exceptional status. I thought he was noticeable and had a good game. He's still looking for his first goal of the season. But they like to really get their D involved in the play. And I think the Giants did a decent job of, I mean, Everett did have some odd man rushes, but the Giants had chances of their own. If you look at the stats from the game, you might think, if you didn't see it, if you weren't there like yourself, you might think that Everett dominated, because in the end, I believe the shots were 36 shots on goal, 36 for Everett. I think it was 20 for Vancouver, but that does not show how close the game really was. Giants, when the game was 0-0 and when they were down 1-0 after allowing that first goal halfway through the third, they had some really good offensive zone pressure where it wasn't one and done. This season, I think the Giants have had a little bit of trouble with too reliant, and Bill has talked about this, and I fully agree, of only being dangerous off the rush, not having too much of a cycle game in the offensive zone, not having a lot of offensive zone possession where the puck is on your stick and you're getting it from low to high and D to D, and one chance leads to another. You recover it, you keep the possession going. I think there were points in that game multiple times where they had ozone possession for near close to a minute. And that is in addition to, they also had some chances off the rush. Giants, I really like the way that the Giants showed more heart after, to be honest, not a great weekend. They did not have a great weekend on the road, but it was a step forward for sure.
The 5-2 loss Friday in Tri, the 7-3 loss Saturday when Braden Cooch dazzled Canuck fans. What did he go, 2-4? Two goals and four assists.
2-4, and his own team, the home team picks the Stars. They named him the third star.
I heard that, and I think Dhaliwal tweeted about that too. How do you have 2 goals and 4 assists in a 7-3 victory, and you're the third star in any rank? How did that happen?
Here's the thing, and I am not giving them... it was the wrong decision. But just for context, typically, when the Stars are chosen, as you might know, I think you do know, it is chosen a little bit in advance. You can't wait until the final horn, right?
You can. Now, you can, but it's frowned upon.
It's frowned upon. You got to have something. Usually it's like, and I've been to buildings where, you know, they pull the media and they give everyone a form and you can kind of submit it. And then I don't know how Seattle does it, but I do know that Cootes had an empty net goal for his second goal. So when they're choosing those Stars, and again, I think he should have been the first. When the Stars were chosen, they are going under the assumption that he probably has a goal and 4 assists, 5 points, not 6. Yeah.
What a difference.
Exactly. Fully with you. But that is the context in which they're going with, in that he didn't have the game-winning goal, although he was the best player on the ice. 100% he was. I would have made him first star, even if he didn't have that empty net goal. He still had 5 points. He still made things happen. He had some unbelievable primary assists. He really often seems to make the play that, you know, some players can't. A lot of players at that level will not see or be able to make it in time. It's like you have an opening in half a second, and can you make that pass backdoor? And he does. And he just reads the game and sees the game so well. I was a huge fan of this game. Again, I think he was the best player on either side for sure. Just wanted to provide a little bit that, A, Seattle chose those Stars. It was a home game. And B, the one goal was added late. I don't know why that affected it, because the first star had 2 goals and 0 assists. The second star, I think, had a goal and 2 assists. So nothing close to what he did.
I'm going to tell you now, as I look this up today, this evening, on the WHL mm-hmm. site, mm-hmm. they have made changes.
Because they have now made him first?
Well, he's now first star, Cootes. But he wasn't after the game, because I was on the website after the game, and you're right, he's like in the number three.
Well, so here's the thing. Typically, again, you would introduce, when you're doing the three stars, as we do at the LEC,
yeah.
It's third, then second, then first, yes?
Correct.
That, I was there at the building. The first person who came out was Cootes. So unless they do 1, 2, 3, maybe they do. That's well, the only I know he was the first one who came out.
Others, though, as I say, like Dhaliwal, who was tweeting out, so he got it from the Dub site or wherever.
Yeah.
And Cooch was the third. Right now on the Dub site, they've got Cooch as the first star. They got, is it Pekar?
Pekash.
Pekash. Okay, good. Good thing you're here. They've got Pekash as the second star, and they've got Pekash as the third star, too. So they've got Pekash right at the moment. It's got second and third star, and Cooch is
number
one. So something's not right. But anyway, yeah, and just for people who know, like I'm in the PA booth. Usually the stars come to us with about, in tight games, with about 3 minutes to go in the third period, and then there could be late changes, depending on what happens at the last couple of minutes. And I always say, unless the game's over, like, send them any time, as long as we haven't picked the player yet. Because once you've, let's say, you've pulled Cooch out, they've gone off the ice, now you got the stars, Cooch, you're the first star, and then someone says, no, I got to make a change. Then I'm like, no, we've already told him he's the first star, so I'm not going to, you know, wire down to say, no, tell him we're wrong, he's not even on the stars. So it depends how different rinks do it, and some might do it with 10 minutes to go, and then things change. But anyway, right now on the Dub site, he is the first star of the hockey game. You'll be happy to know.
That's rightfully so.
Check
very
back in
so
15.
All Canucks fans can change. Rejoice.
Could change. But anyway, for the Canucks fan.
Again,
But anyway, was he all that on the ice?
Oh, he was good. He was good. Well, the one thing is, like, you can't say, oh, he had a six-point game. He's the second coming. Oh, second line center, for sure. Like, this doesn't change his outlook. This isn't changing and saying, well, like, you shouldn't feel that much better about him. He of course, he's a good player. You know you've drafted a good player. It was, I think, a surprise that he made the team out of camp. I think one of the things, the reason that they liked him so much is his personality. He's just, I've talked to him only a couple of times, but his coaches rave about his attitude and how he lights up a room and his off, like, he was captain at 17. You don't get that a lot in the Western League.
Five goals and 8 assists for him in 8 games. So he's and he got 6 of them in one game.
He got 6 in one game. I guess all I'm saying is you can't take one good game at the junior level and then change, you know, his progression and think now for sure he's going to be the second line center they need. Right?
His trajectory has not changed. It's just that how did he look? He looked good.
He looked good.
Like he has for years, frankly.
Yeah.
And as he will again whenever Seattle comes into Vancouver as well. I want to take you into, the game that was on Monday before I let you run, pal. The WHL 3 stars for that game were Pine, the losing goaltender, Kelton Pine, 34 saves. Raiden Legault, the second star, the 20-save shutout. Then they go to Clark Schaefer, who had a goal in that one in the third period. Was it the game winner? It was his 6th of the year before the empty netter. But I'll take you into Pine more than anything, because Kelton Pine has been a bit of a revelation for this team. The 20-year-old coming into Vancouver out of Regina?
Yeah, it was. So he's basically from Regina, just outside White City, Saskatchewan, and had only played for his hometown team for his whole career. He at one point was teammates with Connor Bedard on the Regina Pats, and he had kind of, as that team after Bedard left, you know, went through a bit of a rebuild. He was their guy, like he was their goalie, and faced a lot of shots on a rebuilding team. And this year, he's 20, and the Giants, I think, wanted to solidify the backup position, and Pine has been great, like 100%. He has only started 4 games, but 3 of the 4 have been quality starts. He had his first win as a Giant on the road at Kamloops, making a career-high 45 saves, I believe it was, on 49 shots, like was outstanding, especially in overtime to allow the Giants to then get the winner. Pine has been very, very good. I think they're also waiting for, let's be honest, I think Burke Hood, we know he hasn't been at his best. I think he knows that he hasn't been at his best, and I think he knows that he can and will be better. And I think the Giants have relied on Pine a little more than maybe they would have even liked to at this point, but that's to credit Pine. Like, he's been really good, and I would be surprised if he doesn't start on Saturday. Maybe they do go back to Hood because Pine didn't get the win, but it's a really good Edmonton team coming in. So the way I just see it, there's no controversy. Pine has played well. I think Hood, once he gets another chance, is obviously going to be better. And the Giants do need better goaltending as a whole, combined between whoever it is. And I think they will get that. And I just, Hood last year, remember, second half goalie. It was the second half where he took off. And I do expect him to be much better than it. I believe he's got an .870 save percentage on the season. So, yeah, I think it's a great thing that now you're able to, regardless of who's in the net, the team feels really confident.
Pine, by the way, six games by my count in the .914 save percentage in Vancouver this
yeah.
year. So
yeah, he's come in relief a couple times.
And you need a couple of goalies. You need a couple of goalies to play, that's for yeah. sure. So, okay, you like Matt Sundin when you lived in Toronto, you grew up as a kid. You thought mm-hmm. Almo, McGillney, you thought he was pretty cool. Did you have a poster on your wall, maybe more than one? Ooh. What poster on your wall when you were growing up?
Well, poster on my wall was Joe Sakic.
Oh, yeah,
Salt Lake City, though, Canada jersey.
Joe Sakic. And you go to 2002, that's what they used to call him in the locker room now and then after the games. When,
really?
Yeah, every now and then, because the French, the hook, the Quebec Nordique hook, doing Joe Sakic, some of the players would call him in the locker room. It was really cool being in there. But, yeah, okay, 02 Salt Lake City.
Yeah, and then I had an Avs poster, too, with wow.
Why Joe? Law. Why Why Joe Sakic? Why?
I'll be honest, they were good. Man, like you're a kid, you're growing up. It hit them and the Red Wings, the rivalry in the late 90s.
Yeah, you like Yzerman then?
I hated Yzerman because I liked Sakic. That was the rivalry, right? My best friend growing up was a Red Wings and Yzerman fan, and I was Joe Sakic in Colorado. Like they were on all the time, right?
Yeah. So you like the Avs? You were an Avs fan, and then Joe Sakic was one of your favorite Avs, and
yes,
so that pitch.
100%.
Yeah, I had Farrah Fawcett. That was the picture on my wall, but I digress. Oh. Different topic.
I will say,
I like the team she played for back too in Charlie's Angels.
I had a not only a McGillney Leafs jersey, but how about Curtis Joseph? That was the other one I had, as well as a sack of Canada. Of course, you got to have that. Like Salt Lake City was. I mean, I was a kid when it happened, but the drought, like that was forever.
Yeah,
Canada not winning gold, and I don't know about. The Olympics coming, players going back to the Olympics. How awesome is that?
That was pretty cool. And the fact that they closed under a lot of pressure, too, of going, hey, but the pros are allowed in it now. Canada better win. That's kind of your 1972 Summit Series.
Thing, yes.
In effect, of like, oh.
Yeah. Now, not the political climate, I'm sure. The Summit Series.
Well, in 72, Canada did not go in with pressure into that series. They thought, oh, right? We're going to win. What's it, an eight-game series? We'll win nine. That was the theory back then. But in 2002 in Salt Lake, never mind 2010 in Vancouver, too. And it was like, whoa, now you got some expectations. That's a whole different thing. So anyway, you lived up to expectations today, pal. Appreciate it, my brother. Billy Wilms coming up next, too. I know you'll be listening to that, see what he has to say.
Of course.
I might ask him how you are doing. I think, how's Nathan doing? Bill,
yeah, I want to know what Bill. I hope he's honest.
Bill, when you were growing up, what picture was on your wall?
Wow.
I can't even think of something like that, what he might come up with. All right, stay tuned. That's called a hook, Nathan. Stay tuned. That's coming up with Bill in a minute. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it, pal.
Thank you. Anytime.
I'm Brooke Ward. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week. This is Sportsnet 650.
I want to win that championship tonight, but I want to win it clean. Old-time hockey, like when I got started, you know?
Geez, Toe Blake, Dick Clapper, Eddie Shore, those guys were the greats.
Yeah, sure, old-time hockey.
Like Eddie Shore.
Yeah.
Coach, our line starts?
Sure.
And we got a game to win?
Bill Wilms is with us. Old-time hockey, folks. Bill Wilms, youngest guy in the room right now on White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week. Hi, Bill. How are you, my friend, here on a Wednesday night for a change?
Yeah, cool. Really good. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Now, I just had Nathan on, and among other things, I said I would ask this, and it was a hook at the end of the Nathan interview for the listeners, so I've got to make sure I get to this. Nathan, I was saying, what was a pick? He was a Maple Leaf fan, right? But what were the pictures on your wall growing up? And he said, well, Matt Sundin, but he also was a big Joe Sakic fan, and because he loved the Avalanche when he was a kid, too, so he did Joe Sakic. So I said, I got to ask Bill. Now, I'm not saying you're old, Bill, but maybe it was they might not have had pictures back then. It might have been like a painting, a painting on your wall. What was the poster on your wall when you were growing up of a hockey player that you admired or two?
Oh, my girlfriend in high school.
Nice. In bikini.
Yeah. I know. remember, you got to remember six teams in the NHL. So I was always a bit of a Chicago Blackhawk fan, so I had a couple Blackhawk guys. You wouldn't remember, though.
I remember.
Eddie Litzenberger, I kind of liked him a lot. I had my tonsils out when I was, I don't know how long, just a kid. And my mom brought me a Chicago Blackhawk jersey to the hospital. So I became a Blackhawk fan. But no, you know what? It was not an era where we did all that. I'll tell you what we did do. We collected hockey cards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too.
Alec Delvecchio, remember him?
Yep.
Bronco Horvath, Boston.
Man, I just remember in the 1960s in particular, we collected hockey cards like no one's business, and the gum that came along with the OP cheese, it could break in your hands, didn't matter, you could chew that up, moisten that up. Oh, when the Canucks were in the league, Bill, it was like, can you get a Canuck player? And I got a Ken Dryden rookie card. I still have it. Awesome, man. Who did you admire growing up, though? Maybe the poster wasn't on your wall, but who are some of your favorite players growing up?
Well, obviously Gordie Howe was somebody that you watched. You know who I never really got terribly excited about was Rocket Richard. Everybody did. I wasn't particularly a big fan of his.
Because?
And again, I was surprising. You know, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens never did really a lot for me. I was fascinated with the stadiums in the U.S. when we finally, got to see some games or heard some games, whatever. Double decker, where they had an upper tier and a lower tier. That just fascinated me. Wow. I mean, I'm coming from outside hockey. We're playing, never mind playing inside. Now you're hearing about double-decker stadiums where these teams are playing. So that was kind of cool. But you remember, we barely had television when I was a kid.
And you were playing all the time, too. So you weren't sitting home like me on a Saturday night seeing, is it going to be the Canadians or the Leafs that are on TV? And then on Sundays, so all of a sudden, people, the luxury days of today, you got one hockey game a week. And when they actually on a Sunday had El Producto Cigars Sunday afternoon hockey, that was huge, and they play a Sunday game from Minnesota. You saw a game from the States or something, Bill. Was like enormous.
Right. Yeah. No, I remember those days, absolutely. But you're right. It was all so much outside hockey, and when we played, there was the big rink and there was the little rink. I wrote about it in that book that I did. I mean, the little rink was no boards. It was just little, pieces of wood, if you will, surrounding the ice and pleasure skaters in there, and we're still playing hockey, 7, 8, 9 on a team. We're stick-handling through the skaters and everything else. And you know what? I still, to this day, maintain that is where a lot of the good hands were developed. But obviously the game has changed in so many ways.
The book,
that speed has taken over, and physicality and all that stuff.
The book, It Always Got Better, by Billy Wilms, too. Check it out if you get an opportunity to. I'm reading Ken Dryden's book, The Game, for about the fifth or sixth time, I think, Bill. He was talking about the speed of the game, too, and how it changed everything and the way the style of game was played, because there's so much speed to it now that it helped in some ways, and in his opinion, maybe not in others, but it really opened things up and had defense for trying to figure out how to check the guys who were then flying by him because they couldn't hit him anymore because they were too fast.
Yeah, I know. We played against him when I was assistant coach after playing at North Dakota. We played against Cornell in the NCAA final in Minnesota at Duluth UMD. And he was in goal for Cornell. I remember that. We had a hard time beating him. I think they beat us 1-0 or 2-1. It was close.
He was a goalie, that's for sure, back then. Why weren't you necessarily, and I'll get on the Giants stuff in a sec, a Rocket fan? Why were you not necessarily a fan of, not you have to be. I didn't know him, but the Rocket Richard.
Well, I don't. That's a good question. I don't know, and we don't know why we log on to certain guys at that time. But I'd be a big admirer of his today because of his fiery eyes and his ability to play with the intensity that guy played with, and the determination and. All of that. I don't know. I don't know why why I didn't. Again, we weren't conditioned to knowing too much about these teams because, as I say, we never got color television until Eve and I were at North Dakota, and when I was in my post doing my postgraduate work there,
late '60s, maybe early '70s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I graduated '66, coached for 2 years there, assistant. So yeah, 67, 68. Yeah.
People forget.
Is that about right?
The older you get, I think so. In my household too, is the same thing. But it's funny. The older you get, like when I was 20, to think of 30 years ago, wow, that was forever. Like, that was ancient times.
100%.
And then all of a sudden, I'm in my 60s, and I'm going, 30 years ago, hey, you know, I was partying at the Roxy. What are you talking about? So anyway, Bill Wilms is with us. The book is It Always Got Better. Check it out if you can. Ask Bill about it if you see it. He's also got discountgolfcard.ca. It gives you discounts on golf throughout the year. Discounted discount golf even now in the winter season. The new card out comes at the end of March, early April. Check that out to discountgolfcard.ca. Bill, what did you think about the Giants? 0-3 on the weekend? Cause for concern, or what rolls through your mind of those three hockey games?
Well, funny you should say that, because it always got better. at Tri-City.
Nice one. Beautiful.
At Tri-City, at Seattle, and then at home to Everett. But when you look at the last three games, you know, the first two, the game at Tri-City at Kennewick and at Seattle, the U.S. division teams, in my experience over the years, generally they kind of expose your physical game. You know, how well are you battling? How well are you handling the ruggedness of the game? And that's at both ends of the ice. You know, in your own zone and in the offensive zone. Again, Tri-City, let me put it simple. Their top line had 10 points. They had 8 points by the 10-minute mark of period two. And in Seattle, their top line, I mean, Braden Coots all considered, they had 11 points. And you know what? You're tested in physically and having the capability of shutting these guys down. You can't go into those buildings and let their top line do the things that those two top lines did in Tri-City and Seattle. And you've got to at least limit the damage. And, you know, shutting down the other team's best players obviously requires you to do the job in your own end. And that's where I think the physicality probably was exposed a little bit, or lack of. Now, in the offensive zone, Brooke, if you're not creating off the rush, okay, and you can't always create off the rush, you have to go to the grind game. You have to go to a cycle game, which means you're getting the pucks, and you'll hear, you know, players when you interview them, they say, we got to get pucks deep. You know, we got to get pucks, you know, behind their defense. Well, that's so true, because that can establish, you're not doing anything off the rush when you're dumping pucks in and getting them behind the opposing team's goal and getting their defense to play up against the back wall. So you're resorting to the heavy game. And you got to play in, I think, and through contact. And, you know, you got to get those battles. And you know, that will more likely than not, result in greasy goals, where goals get to the front of the net. You're battling in the offensive zone, and the puck comes loose, and you got a guy in front of the net. And I forget who it was. I think it might have been Harry Sinden, one of my favorite coaches at that time. He said, the sign of a good team is really how many garbage goals do you get? They're greasy. They're the goals that are, you know, got to really work for. And I think the U.S. division does exactly that. They make you work that much harder. And, you know, after the two games, you know, the Kennewick and Seattle, I mean, you came home a little bit with your tail between your legs and saying, okay, now, why did we lose? I mean, we got outscored, you know, in the two games badly, let's be honest. And now you got to regroup. And I thought the game Monday night was really, really good. The game against Everett was, I thought, the WHL at its best for the complete 60 minutes. 0-0 after one, 0-0 after two. Everett scores at 10:02, halfway through the third period, and then gets an empty netter. Honestly, Brooke, I mean, Paul Carson one time paid a big compliment when he said, you know, I think I, Dan and I were broadcasting. He said, you guys are completely believable. And that's, for me, something I never want to compromise. And because he was listening, actually, driving through Seattle on the freeway. And he paid that compliment. And seriously, if I tell you, that game could have gone either way. It could have gone either way. It was going to be whoever scored first was going to get a big advantage. And I mean, they both teams answered each other's chances. There were long stretches of intensity, long stretches of pace, chances of battles of compete, both ends. I mean, it was just such a good performance, I think, to build on when you're going in a Saturday night now against, you know, against Edmonton. Now you're playing against the number one team in the Eastern Conference, number two team in the Western Hockey League. You know, Everett had won. Well, they hadn't lost on the road. They came into our building with a 10-0 road record, number one team in the conference by quite a bit. So I think what they accomplished was wonderful. There wasn't a fan, I'm sure, that you talked to that would have said it wasn't exciting. It was, you're on the edge of your seat. You really were. And as the saying goes, you know, you got it. Now you got to get it. Go get it. So consistency is the key. And I really think this was a step in the right direction in terms of being consistent and seeing that, hey, this is something you can do. Now you got to repeat that. I think I've said this to you before, that once, as a coach, once you show me what you can do, I think I have a right to demand that, you know, that comes an awful lot. I mean, it can't be every game. I get that. But, you know, you've shown the crowd, you've shown management, you've shown the staff what you can do. That was a wonderful, wonderful game. And I think it'd be a good week of practice, too.
I'm with you, by the way. Once you show me what you can do, it's like, okay, as a coach, I need to know what you can do every night.
Yeah.
So I know how to use you. But if you show me once and you can't show me twice, then that tells me a tale, too, of how I can use you or not use you.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, that you nailed it. That's exactly right. And I don't think that's asking too much. I don't think coaches should ever be criticized for demanding the best out of players, because once you've showed me, man, I think you might have made a mistake, and you know I'm going to be on you now because you got to play that way. So yeah, there's still a lot of things to fix, and the physicality is, as I said, you've got to be able to incorporate that into your game. I mean, that was, you know, we saw that in Tri-City and we saw that in Seattle, and I think that's a lesson well learned. Now Everett's never been that kind of a team, so. They have been quite different. But I'll tell you what, Kelton Pine, he went into period three, the goaltender, 20-year-old goaltender. He went into period three at Seattle, made 5 saves and 6 shots. And then yesterday, or on Monday, 34 of 35, I'll do the math, 4 periods. Kelton Pine's last 4 periods, he's 9.51 save percentage. And, you know, there's 20-year-olds, they get a bad shake sometimes in the Western Hockey League. And, you know, you're only allowed 3, obviously. They can be a very big factor on your hockey club. And they are so important. And I always hope they sign contracts. I think, you know, it happens enough. But there is the adage that if you're 16, you're ripening. And then when you're 20, you're rotting. And that's a very small, you know, time space for somebody to, you know, be able to prove that you can play. And talking about 16-year-olds, Blake Chorney, I thought was terrific. I thought the 16-year-old coming back from the, you know, the U-17s, I didn't expect him. He took another step. No, there's no question. He's not just a complimentary piece. He can make a lot of things happen. And the last thing about the weekend, Cam Schmidt, how do you complain about anything that he does? Okay, but I asked the coach, I said, you know, should he have a little bit of develop a little bit more shot selection in his game? He's shooting from that same spot over and over and over again. And, you know, he had one goal, his last 13 shots on goal. And he said, too, that they're working on that part of his game. But we ended up those 3 games very, very positive.
A quick one, and then I want to just talk about how tight things are in the Western Conference right now. Ty Halliburton named captain. So I was waiting for them to name a captain. Bill, what are your thoughts of Ty being the captain of the Giants?
Well, you know what? You talk about consistency. There is never a game that I see, and never is a long time. There's never a game that I've seen the Giants play where he's playing in it that he hasn't given it his 100% best. He's never had me say, where's Ty Halliburton tonight? How's he been doing? No. He makes an impression every night with his work ethic. As a 20-year-old, he's a leader all the way. And on top of everything, he's taken the most faceoffs in the Western Hockey League, and he's second in faceoff wins. And that, again, shows me the importance of the 20-year-old that he is. So I have nothing but, great things for him.
Western Conference standings, Everett with that one regulation loss, kind of pull it away from the pack here, Bill, obviously. But most of the other teams, it's modestly tight.
Yeah.
You're getting a little run here, and you can move up the standings.
Well, exactly. You know what? There are seven teams in the Western Conference that have between 8 and 9 wins. That's incredible, including the Giants that have 8. There are 9 teams in the Western Conference between 22 points and 16 points. And the Giants are in there. They have got 17 points. So as you look at the standings, Brooke, as a fan or as management, and probably more as management, you got to make some decisions when you look at those standings. The question is always going to be, how much can those standings change, or how much will they change? And what is a team's plan? How are you going to attack? What's your goal going to be when you're looking at where these standings are at this point, just past the quarter point of the season? And you know what? Look, most teams obviously have a plan. For a couple years. Are you all in this year? Are you all in next year? Or even some teams will plan 2 years down the road. You know, is that our year that we go all in and try to win it all? That's not the case anymore. There are so many things that have changed now with the NCAA situations, and I'm understanding that the NHL and the CHL is working on some 19-year-olds possibly playing in the American Hockey League. You know, it's not allowed now. And so you're looking at those standings the way they are, and looking at your team, and you got to look at the window. You know, how big is that window now to go all in? I'm guessing it's pretty small, Brooke. I think you can't be planning 2 years down the road. And I think that this is going to be fascinating actually to watch. Take advantage of the opportunity that your team has, and how things evolve between now and trade deadline, January 10th, and how they evolve after that are, I think, one of the most interesting times looking at the standings that I've seen. Because as I said, you know, you got to make some decisions when things are this close. What are you going to do? And, you know, obviously you got to coach what you got, and you got to make moves if that's what's required. So I'm thinking it's going to be very interesting from a fan standpoint to watch what's going on. But next game Saturday against Edmonton, first place club. I think things are going in the right direction for that. And then if we can look a little bit further ahead, the following Wednesday they get Lethbridge in town, and they're the last place team in the Eastern Conference.
Bill Wilms, I have that Ken Dryden rookie card still I told you about. I wish I had a Bill Wilms rookie card.
Yeah, really?
In your time, did you get, you know, the levels you played? Did they ever have hockey cards? Is there a Bill Wilms
never.
Hockey card out there? Oh, man. Missing out.
No, never, never. Listen, there was nothing like that. But
you know you made it if you had a hockey card. It's like, okay, I made it. I can pass away tomorrow. The Giants actually should do Vancouver. There you go. Hey, Pete, do some Vancouver Giant hockey cards, and you hand them out to people in the crowd. Stats on the back. Oh, come on. Million-dollar idea there. Well, maybe not.
Oh, it is. It is. And I don't think you'd pay you too much for that either.
Maybe not.
That's a great idea. No, I mean, marketing's a big deal. And I think crowds have been good at the Giants games. We miss you, though. We miss that voice.
I was away. I was upper body injury. I was away. I had a cold. I was away for a few days, and hopefully by Saturday all is well, because I'm fighting through checks. But you could have a giant hockey card night, and then you give away a pack of hockey cards to everybody. There you go. Gum included. That's what they ought
to
do. Pete,
are you listening?
Come on, man. Rarely. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it, pal.
All right. Good stuff, Brooke. See ya.
They're great. Bill Wilms, Sir Bill of Wilms on the Big Giant Show. Again, Saturday night, Edmonton here, a 7 o'clock kickoff at the Langley Event Center. Get your tickets right now, VancouverGiants.com/tickets. Thanks to everyone who tuned in tonight. To Bill Wilms, just joining us, Nathan Kander, earlier in the program, of course, my buddy here, Jack the Giant.
Oh, oh, oh.
I'm Brooke Ward. Thanks for listening. This has been the Wednesday night edition of Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.